When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do it, baby.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a new theme Thursday. That's when my co-host, the Idealionaire Patrick Davis, comes up with the musically themed days of the week. And a new theme Thursday, he focuses on one specific theme, and all the songs reference or discuss or sing about, and all the lyrics pertain or about this specific subject. And today it's all about 420. We know it's not 420 yet. It's right around the corner, a couple of days away. But my man Patrick's going to get you in the right mindset to enjoy the unofficial holiday 420 on a new theme Thursday. So that's what we're talking about, and that might be because I got a aunt Mary Jane, and actually that is my actual aunt, and her name is Mary Jane. So we used to sing that as kids to her and not actually know what it was about, and now we know why she was so annoyed by it. But I will say that song might be if there was an anthem for 420, that could be in the running to be the anthem of 420.
Yeah.
Mary Jane. It could possibly be the anthem. It might be the greatest marijuana tribute song of all time.
It's definitely
Is there a better one?
It's definitely the most cross, like it fits across all people.
Yes, more mainstream.
Yeah,
yes,
because I feel like people put on stuff that only stoners listen to.
Yeah, stoners only stuff.
Yeah, they'll put on that stuff and be like, "No, man, this is the best, man."
It's like, yeah, well, for stoners it is, yeah, but I don't want to get that high, so I don't feel the same vibe you do.
You know, walk into a kombucha smelled room and I don't need to do that. So I'll. But if you hear this coming on, you're like, "All right,
yeah,
it's gonna be a good hang right here."
Point. I like that. That's actually you're right about that. It does actually, and I'm trying to think of the other ones. Honestly, The Chronic is probably in that conversation.
Yeah.
But it's more the hardcore
marijuana
tribute songs. Like you said, you can't go there. You know, you're PG-13 right now because you're on radio. So if you're going with the hardcore tributes to marijuana, you're probably going with The Chronic. That's probably the number one there for The Chronic. Yeah. So, but Mary Jane is, as I said, it does. It's going mainstream now, but everybody knows the song is recognizable, and everybody knows. Well, I think everybody knows what it's talking about. I don't know. Maybe somebody still think like I was a kid. They think it's talking about a woman, Mary Jane. Could be, but I was very naive as a child. But anyway, so thanks to my man Patrick for the musically themed days of the week. Also, Patrick comes up with the big fat poll of the day, and this one is a little bit outside the box. I'll admit. Usually, we got a kind of a heated debate going on about these big fat polls of the day because they are sports centric. This is sports related. But a little bit outside the box. Patrick, give the folks the topic for the big fat poll of the day.
Big fat poll of the day. We saw a big target for Texas in the transfer portal for basketball, and he posted that he was on the riverboat ride with Rodney Terry and the team yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it got me thinking. I thought after campus, after you show him everything on campus, as a coach, so not going into adult establishments, where in Austin would you take a recruit to seal the deal that you're showing them Austin and you want to seal the deal, where would you take them? I've got a lot of good answers on the text line, a lot of different little spots around town, like Mount Bonnell is one we had not named before.
Mount Bonnell is good. That is good.
Yep. Yeah, Mount Bonnell.
You go in there and dream about a house that you want to buy when you become a big star.
I will say Mount Bonnell, there might be a problem of the guy that they were just recruiting came from Oregon State. And,
oh, yeah, so that's nothing.
And Mount Bunnell might be, he'd be like, well, we're climbing a mountain today? And you're like, no, 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 we're climbing a Texas Mount Bunnell.
Yeah. It's basically just a hill.
We're in the hill country. Yeah, it's not a.
Yes.
He's from Oregon. Yeah, so.
My wife would say that. She used to say that about, because, you know, obviously up there in Idaho and Montana, they got these huge lakes on the Pacific Northwest. And she was like, Lady Bird Lake? This ain't no lake. And I was like, yeah, I know it don't seem like, but for us, this is, we call it a lake, but it's actually, yeah, it doesn't feel like it's a lake. Because I was in Michigan.
Yeah, it depends on where they're from. But yes. That's the other thing, is you want to show them downtown, because he, you know, Oregon State, not a big town. It's not a big.
Yeah.
So you show them all of a sudden, you show them the skyline, you show them all the stuff, all the food, and then, you know, the players can go and show them the nightlife and everything that could be a little different here in Austin. So it does change recruit to recruit. But if you have a place like a restaurant that you're like, this is the place, the ambiance of the restaurant along with the food is a really good place. It's stuff that's Austin. We know any place where there would be the scenery, the
ladies, man. Oh yeah,
the
man.
Female the scenery. Could help the
eye candy will help the situation. Yes, it will.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we say, Zilker or Barton Springs or any of those places where, you know, it could be a good day. You go out on
a
nice.
You just go take a walk around Lady Bird, and eye candy, you'll be good. You'll be more than satisfied with, oh, man, there's a lot of talent around here. Yes, there is. I think it all depends on the recruit. You got to know the recruit to know really where to take them, and also because there's so many different options you have. Are they really into food? Like the offensive lineman that come to Texas is like, hey, he's old lineman. He wants to eat good. So we need to go find him a nice spot to eat good, and then we'll figure out everything else. So, like, what's that first – that's going to close it, I think, for an offensive lineman? Man, they want to know there's some good food to eat here in Austin. Boom, make sure you take care of them. So I think it all depends. Some guys want to see live music. They got some great live music venues. So that will be also something to throw out there. If it's a beautiful day, take them on the lake for some water sports. Austin's got a lot to offer. I think that's the whole point. And you were inspired by this because Rodney Terry has a go-to. And every coach has go-tos that they bring on the recruits. They're basically you can talk to every recruit that Mack Brown, you know, recruited from, you know, 1999 to 2009, and they all have some similar stories about, oh, no, this was kind of some of the go-to moves that Mack went to in recruiting. And one of Rodney Terry's go-to moves is he'll take them on one of those boating sightseeing tours down Lady Bird Lake. They are beautiful, though. I've been on one of those. It's really relaxing and serene and nice. And
city. You get a big enough thing, you rent the whole boat out, and the teammates are up there.
Yes.
So you got to get a hang with the teammates while it's happening, and put on whatever music you want to listen to. You just have a nice, easy going place where you can hang out with teammates, but also see the city at the same time. You're not riding in a car or something like that. Yeah. There's no traffic. You're just.
No, it is nice, though. I mean, and I believe they only had like 8-10 guys on there. Wasn't a lot of guys on there with them. So, yeah, you get to have the whole thing. So that's one of his go-tos. That's what inspired Patrick to come up with that topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day. All right, we got Stephen Jones sound we're going to get to. And, yes, if you're a Cowboys fan, I guarantee you this is going to frustrate you even more about what you've witnessed so far with the Cowboys offseason. So we'll play that audio. We'll also get to Rod's rant of the day coming up here. And Bill Belichick. Reportedly, if he is able to pick out his ideal coaching spots, his ideal landing spots to be a head coach next, the Cowboys would be one of them. Apparently, NFC East actually really popular on the list of teams that Bill Belichick is considering, or at least that he hopes that he will be considering. So we'll get into that, too, because that Belichick expose is really interesting. Before we do any of that, let's get educated. Let's get informed and updated with all the big headlines of the day with my man Patrick Davis with the Horn Headlines.
All right, Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the NBA, the 76ers held on late to get a 105-104 victory over the Heat and advance to the playoffs as the 7th seed in the East and take on the Knicks in the first round. Joel Embiid had 23 points and 15 rebounds, but defense led the way in the second half as Jimmy Butler was held mostly silent after suffering an apparent knee injury in the first half, but staying in the game. Reports now that is an MCL sprain. He will be out several weeks with that, is what reports are now for Jimmy Butler. In the other playing game, the Bulls outpaced the Hawks 131-116 behind a career-high 42 points from Kobe White. While Atlanta will have plenty of questions to answer this offseason about their star backcourt, the Bulls will go on to face the Heat on Friday for the 8th seed in the East and the chance to face the dominant Celtics. In Major League Baseball, the Braves came back to beat the Astros in extra innings to sweep the series and push Houston to 6-14 on the season. The Astros are hoping to have Justin Verlander return for their next game on Friday against the Nationals. And the Rangers got a run off a pinch-hit double from Josh Smith to take the 5-4 victory over the Tigers. Dolis Garcia added two more RBIs to his season total of 17, which is second most in the AL. Former second-round pick Jack Leiter will make his MLB debut today as the Rangers finish up their series with the Tigers with their third day game in a row, with pregame beginning right here at 11:30 on the Horn. And that is your Horn headlines.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn headlines. We appreciate those as always. And let's get to this Stephen Jones audio really quickly before we get to Rod's Rant of the Day. So Stephen Jones was on 105.3 The Fan, and he was asked, of course, about the Cowboys' offseason, their very lackluster offseason, where they've spent the least amount of money of any team so far in the new calendar year. But he was asked first about the all-in philosophy of the Cowboys. You remember Jerry Jones initially said the Cowboys were all in and had to clarify that and then redefine it. And since it's become a bit of an inside joke among Cowboys fans. Well, I don't think Cowboys fans are laughing at this joke. Here is Stephen Jones once again being asked if the Cowboys are going all in and what that means to him.
You know, I think if you're not all in this league, you're all out. And I don't know of any of the 32 who aren't all in. And, you know, everybody can have their own definition of what that means, but I've never not known us to be all in, nor have I known anybody we compete against not to be all in. It's, you know, they have different strategies as to what that means, but at, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not really all in trying to figure out how to, you know, how to put together a championship football team, then you shouldn't be in this league.
Okay. Another definition of all in, apparently. And this one, maybe even more. He's just watering down the definition of all in. Now, basically, it doesn't mean anything. I don't even know what the hell it means now.
All in is every team that we've ever had, every season we've been all in, and everyone we've ever played and known has been all in. And all in is, you're trying to figure out how to do it. That is all in.
Just making an effort is all in. Yeah. The slightest effort, just whatever it is.
Thinking about making an effort is all in.
I mean, that's basically what he said. All 32 teams, like, the ones that are tanking too? What about the ones that are tanking? Tanking? Still all in? Still all in, apparently.
Still all in.
Yeah. It's, as I said earlier, it reminds me of politicians who come up with these really cool slogans, and they're feel-good slogans, and they probably have really cool words and maybe bring about nostalgia or hope or whatever it may be, all these positive emotions. They may solicit these positive emotions, but ultimately none of them align with the policies or the actual actions of the politician. That is what's happening right now with the Cowboys. They're gaslighting you, Cowboys fans, talking about all in, and yet still spending the least amount of dollars in this new year on free agency. They haven't even made any real efforts to re-sign their own guys, which was Jerry's definition of all in. Was, I know, we gonna sign our guys. We like our guys. Like, they haven't done that either. It's like, so I don't, now everybody's all in, and you know what? It means nothing. So I just wanted to play that audio because it frustrated me, and I'm not even a Cowboys fan.
You know what? I am interested. We still got several months till the season. All in could mean, like, it could be a negative thing by the end of the season. Well, you know, you don't want to be too all in. Because if you're too all in, then that means you get you sprain your ankle. And I don't.
That's a good point. They're going to flip it by the end of the season. If you're like, nobody will ever. You never want to be all in. That's irresponsible. No, you want to be half in, half out. You know, that's what we want to be. We want to divide ourselves. Yeah, something crazy. But he was asked about the Cowboys' lack of spending this offseason, this new calendar year. And here is, once again, the mental gymnastics of Stephen Jones. He claims the Cowboys are actually not very frugal. They spend a lot. Matter of fact, they spend as much as they can. Here's Stephen Jones.
Well, at the end of the day, you always can only – and we spend max money, you know, year in and year out. All 32 can only spend – the same amount of money over a 5-year stretch. And when we're all said and done, we max out our salary cap every year, and we will have done that. And, you know, hey, what comes with having a good roster, which we do, and, you know, we also, you know, are looking towards signing our own guys. It doesn't mean it happens overnight, but when you're wanting to sign players like Dak and Micah and CD, then, you know, that certainly you have to hold money back if you want to have a realistic chance at signing those guys.
Okay, he's saying he's actually right, because they have to spend. There's a cap floor, so you have to spend a certain amount in that five-year window, which, yeah, of course, they are obligated to do. I have some numbers that actually, you know, they're contrary to his statement that they are spending as much as they can, and I'll get to that a little bit later in Rod's rant of the day. But he was – so – you could tell the guys on 105.3 were growing frustrated. When you watch them in the studio reacting to him, answering the questions, they are physically, you can tell their body language, they're frustrated. So one of the guys asked Stephen Jones straight up, are you accountable? Are you accountable for what's happening right now, for this team not being able to win in the playoffs, for this team being in salary cap hell? Charlie Wilson actually texted me. He said, all in. They're all in the toilet. That's what they're going. They're going all in the wrong way, a downward spiral. But he was frustrated. And he asked Stephen Jones, hey, man, are you accountable in all this? And here's what Stephen Jones had to say.
I feel as accountable as anybody in terms of the success of this franchise. And, of course, you know, we want to have one of the top, if not the top franchise, you know, in the country, if not the world. And I think, you know, certainly I think we do in terms of what our brand's valued at. We certainly want to have more success on the field in terms of that part of it. But, you know, as I said, we've had a lot of success during the regular season. We haven't had the success in the postseason. And we just, you know, until we do that, we understand there'll be frustration. And I can tell you this, we'll be rolling up our sleeves and going to work.
There you go. That is Stephen Jones saying he does feel accountable. You see, he brought up the value of the franchise.
Yeah, he said the quiet part out loud. He said, he's like, I'm accountable. Look, we're doing our best to be the most valuable franchise in America. And if we happen to win games on the side, that's great.
He did.
But
yeah,
my job is to make this most valuable. And I believe Jerry Jones wants a Super Bowl a little bit more. I don't know if Stephen Jones cares about a Super Bowl anymore. I don't know. When he says stuff like that, that did not sound like a man who cares about a Super Bowl.
You're right. He slipped up there. He probably should not have brought up the value of the team
not
at all.
First.
Just shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. You can't bring it up first when someone says, are you accountable? And you said, I'm accountable to the franchise. I'm the value of the franchise. And then also you'd like to see us be good on the field. You can't say that's not an also. For Cowboys fans, it's not also, hey, I'm really rich, but also I'm doing something. Like, that's not what people want to see.
No, you're right about the end. Jerry, I think you're right. That's a great point. I agree with you. I think Jerry Jones does want to win the Super Bowl more than Stephen Jones. The problem with Jerry Jones, and we have some old audio. This is from a few years ago of Jerry Jones being asked about like how bad he wants it. And it's very telling, because I still think it is relevant today, this piece of audio we're about to play. But to your point, Jerry Jones just wants to win it his way, though, really bad.
Yes.
He doesn't want to win it bad enough to, because he knows how to win a Super Bowl. He actually has done it before.
Yeah.
And he's come close before again after that. How'd he do it? He hired football people. He hired Jimmy Johnson. He hired Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
He knows how to do it. He just doesn't want to do it that way. That way it's painful for Jerry.
Yeah.
Because that way Jerry doesn't get the credit, and then Jerry's ego is bruised. He's hiring a football guy. Now, we'll get into this, because a lot of the rumors are that maybe after McCarthy, he might want to go with another kind of football guy that wants to call the shots, that wants to cook the meal and buy the groceries. But, you know, that's a different discussion for a different day. So can we play this audio here,
yeah,
Patrick? Because
yeah.
I think it's – and we'll get into Raj right after this, which is also Cowboys related. This is from a few years ago, though, and I think it adds to Patrick's point. Jerry Jones wants to win the Super Bowl really badly, but how badly is the question? Here's the audio.
You said this the other day at that press conference you mentioned.
I would right now, if I could, and I knew had a good chance to do it, I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl. That's a fact.
But it's not a fact. That's not true. Would you hire a general manager and let him make all the football decisions?
Yes, if I knew for sure he'd win a Super Bowl.
You really would?
Well, if I knew for sure he'd win a Super Bowl yesterday. The facts are, we know that only God knows who can win the Super Bowl and who won't, and we know how many other parts have to come together. My thoughts have always been, I'll have people around me that are as close to being competent, have Super Bowl type ideas that can get you to that. I'll have them, and I listen, and I have listened all the time. But I don't want to create some fake point. At the end of the day, since I have to write the check, then I've always made the decision at the end of the day. Does that mean that I have made a decision in spite of what the people that I think are smart advise me to do? No, not at all.
That was Dale Hansen, by the way, who was asking the question. That was great. He was like, oh, no, you don't.
But that's not true, Jerry.
That's not true. But to the end of that, I think, the end of that piece of audio there is very telling and compelling when Jerry's like, no, I write the check, so I make the decisions. I make the final call. I do think he has surrounded himself with better football minds like Will McClay that have helped the Cowboys in the draft. Yeah. I do think he listens to Stephen Jones. And I think Stephen Jones is a nice sounding board for his father about making some of those really kind of emotional draft day decisions when Jerry Jones kind of gets caught up in the moment.
Let's be clear. Stephen Jones is not a football guy either.
He's not a football guy. He's not a football mind. You're right. Will McClay is kind of the football mind in there. And it would help if they would hire a football coach that could also add to that. And Mike McCarthy is a good football coach. But Mike McCarthy, everybody reportedly has talked about it. He does not have input on personnel.
No.
And he doesn't want to have more power. No. Actually, he's fine with having less influence organizationally.
Yeah, and even when you see the draft day stuff where Jerry gives him unprecedented access, Mike McCarthy doesn't talk much.
No.
He kind of sits back and goes, whatever you want, Jerry. And so I think that's more of what people get frustrated people is Jerry Jones is the type of guy who will say, I surround myself with them, and if they tell me something, I'll listen. I'll try and convince them of my way, and by the end of the day, I sign their checks too, so they'll agree with me, and then we're making a decision together that's my idea.
Right. And this was a group decision that I made.
And so it's hard when someone understands, well, I don't get a paycheck if I don't agree with Jerry to a certain extent. If I don't humor Jerry when he has bad ideas or when Jerry wants to do something – you can put it. So I'll put it. I think Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl. I think he really wants to, but he wants to win a Super Bowl because Jerry did it his way, and he wants to win a Super Bowl to shove it in everybody's face that I was right and you were wrong.
That's what.
And Stephen Jones, I think, wants to have the best valued franchise in the world, and the secondary part would, man, wouldn't winning a Super Bowl really raise the value of our franchise?
It would. You're right. He did. He said the quiet part out loud earlier. And by the way, the 105.3, the fans were upset by that. They asked him about that. They had to ask the follow up about it. I didn't play that audio. We didn't play that audio, but they asked the follow up about it because they were a little bit disgruntled with him prioritizing the value of the franchise, whether it wins on the field, which is what a lot of people think that's what the Cowboys are all about, right? They are all about, they're a style over substance.
Yeah.
And that's part of the frustration. You know what? Can we just take 2 minutes? Let's do Rod's round of the day. It'll take 2 minutes. It's Cowboys related. Take 2 minutes, and then we'll get into this Belichick story on the other side. Let's do it.
Rod's Rant of the Day is brought to you by Apple Leasing, the easiest and safest way to get a new car, any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and experience how easy it is.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
So Stephen Jones is saying to the Cowboys, hey, man, we spend as much money as we're obligated to spend in that five-year period. We spend as much as anybody because that's what the CBA obligates us to do. And in speaking of the CBA does have stipulations that they have to spend so much cash, they have to spend so much of the salary cap in a certain window. Combined, the 32 teams must spend 95% of the league's salary cap in cash each year. Individually, each team had to spend 89% of the league's salary cap cash over two four-year periods, and then from then that actually increases in a three-year period from 21 to 23. So there are all of these really kind of different accelerators, if you will, within the CBA when it comes to how much money they're going to spend, because they anticipate the salary cap growing every year because the revenue streams grow the league every year. All right. So, but what everybody knows about NFL contracts, what everybody knows is that most of it is a fugazi. Most of NFL contracts don't matter at all. what matters most in NFL contracts are the guaranteed money, because these are not NFL, it's not NBA or Major League Baseball contracts, which are fully guaranteed. What matters is the guaranteed money and the signing bonus, because that's the money you get right away, right? And everything else the teams can get out of, pretty much. They can get out of those the back end of those deals, all that funny money. They don't have to pay any of that funny money. What they have to pay is the guaranteed money. So that's what matters, and that's why a lot of teams they spend cash in that with those guaranteed salaries, or the guaranteed portion of the salaries, or the signing bonus. And Andrew Brandt always says that's what matters, right? How much cash your team is spending, that's what matters, because that's the real version of all in, because that's the liquid assets of the owner. He's like, no, this is my cash. I'm putting up my cash. This is not the salary cap, team cash. No, my cash, I got to spend it right now because I want these players. So when you look at cash spending, all right, from 2013 to 2016, Cowboys ranked 25th in cash spending over that time period. Your Eagles in that same division, they were first or in that time period in cash spent. Now, salary cap-wise, my man Patrick talks about it all the time. That's what they call cash over cap. Just like anything in life, a house, a car, you buy it in cash, you're probably going to get a discount. Real good discount. You're like, hey, I'm paying for it in cash. I want this much off, or I want you to knock this much of a discount off it because I'm paying for it in cash. And a lot of times you get what you want because nobody gets to pay in cash like that. Who's liquid like that, right? So same thing with the salary cap. You get a discount for paying in cash things up front. That's less burden on your salary cap in the future. The Cowboys don't do that. The Cowboys overburden their salary cap because they don't spend a lot of cash. So from 2013 to 2016, Cowboys 25th in cash spending, Eagles ranked first. In 2016 to 2019, the Cowboys ranked last, dead ass last in cash spending from 2016 to 2019, says Jason Lockenfora. The Eagles were top five in the NFL in cash spent in that time period, getting that cash discount. And in 2021 and 2023, took off the COVID year, the Cowboys are 30th in cash spending in that time period. Philadelphia is 10th. In that time period in cash spending. So you get a discount for spending cash on players, gives you a bit of a salary cap relief. Cowboys don't believe in that. So that's number one where they're screwing up. And so you can't say you're going all in, because I know you got the cash, because you're like the second richest owner right now in the NFL. So the Cowboys got the cash. They're choosing just not to spend the cash. So that would be one of my criticisms of the Cowboys. And also, if you go start looking at it, what the Eagles do, and I read this earlier, and this comes from an NFL executive who basically said the Eagles, what they do is not necessarily rocket science. What the Eagles do is they sign their best players. They sign them early, so they get more salary cap relief by signing guys early. The Cowboys, they wait to the last possible minute. Here's one NFL executive who anonymously said, what the Eagles are doing with the salary cap is not magic. They're better at it than anyone, locking up their first round picks and their key players early. It looks expensive at first, but it almost always leads to financial flexibility later. They end up having less holes to fill and more money to fill them with. When you don't do that, you're stuck with the bloated back ends of contracts. That's where the Cowboys are with Dak and with CD Lamb, soon with Micah. I'm really surprised they didn't fix that before free agency started. So all their star superstars for the Cowboys, they're going to be at the back ends of those contracts, sign those guys at the last possible minute, the midnight hour, paying top dollar. When you could pay top dollar earlier on, yeah, you're going to pay top dollar regardless, but you get more value and you get more flexibility and relief by signing those guys earlier before they get to the end of their contracts. And then by the time they get to the end of that contract, what you pay top dollar for is actually not top dollar anymore, because the market will eventually reset instead of you setting the market over and over again by waiting to the last minute. These are things that will give the Cowboys salary cap relief. It will give them more flexibility, but instead they don't use these advantages when teams like the Eagles use these advantages and a whole lot more to help them keep their championship window open.
Well said.
There you go. Sorry. All right. There you go. Random. All right. We come back. We'll hear from. We'll talk about Bill Belichick. We'll actually read some of the quotes. Bill Belichick, he believes he can fix the Dallas Cowboys, along with the Eagles and along with the Giants too, reportedly. We'll talk about that when we come back right here. This is the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right now. Won't you listen? When I first met you, didn't realize I can't forget you.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. New theme Thursday. That's when Patrick, the Ideanaire, comes up with a very creative theme. And all the jams that he plays throughout the day are a tribute to that specific theme. And today's theme, it is all about 420. Yes, we know it's a couple of days away, but to get you in the right mindset to celebrate the unofficial holiday for the smokers out there, my man Patrick's getting you in the right mindset with a tribute to 420 on a new theme Thursday. So we appreciate all of his creativity. And yet for the smokers out there, man, 420, it's always different stories. And I've heard about the origin of 420 and why it's,
yeah,
why it's 420. First, some people say it was like the time of day that they were smoking, and some people talk about it being like a certain location or a spot. I've heard different, like, I don't know, kind of different urban legends.
Yeah, there's different lore to what it is.
Yeah,
but it seems fitting that people have forgotten what it actually is, because that seems fitting to what the day is about. Nobody remembers.
None of the real smokers can agree on it. Like, I don't know.
I knew it once, man. I knew it once, man. I promise.
I can't think of it right now, man. No doubt about that. All right. Shout out to my man Patrick there. Okay, well, I don't know if Bill Belichick celebrates 420. I doubt it very seriously. He doesn't drink coffee, so that's something new we learned about him. We also learned that, at least reportedly, based on this ESPN article, and it was a team effort. I think Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler both contributed to, all three contributed to this article, and there are a lot of different nuggets that we can pull out of here, but I think the one most relevant to our listenership is this excerpt. It says, about Bill Belichick, quote, he is believed to be biding his time until next January for openings on teams. He has told confidants he would be interested in coaching the Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, and New York Giants. A source who spoke with a longtime friend of Belichick said the friend wonders if the coach will have another opportunity. Quote, I don't think Bill Belichick will ever be a head coach again in the National Football League, the friend said, unless it's for Jerry Jones. That's literally the quote, unless it's for Jerry Jones. It also says, on paper, the Cowboys seem to make sense. Belichick and Jerry Jones are decades-long friends, and both are in the win-now mode. Nobody is better than Belichick at converting a talented roster into a championship team, and Belichick told a friend that he liked the idea of sticking it to the crafts by working for Jones. But Jones, for all of his flash, bluster, and vows this offseason to go all in, is change-averse when it comes to head coaches. He decided quickly after Dallas' blowout exit in the wild-card round to let Mike McCarthy coach the final year of his contract. So in this piece, there came in the Cowboys and other NFC East teams would be the perfect landing spot for the next head coaching adventure for Bill Belichick. I don't know if I love it. I love Bill Belichick, but whoever he hires as an OC would be my primary concern. Who he's going to hire as an OC? And what's going to be the offensive, like, culture and philosophy? Are you just going to let the OC handle that? Because that's what went to hell in a handbasket when Tom Brady left. And we found out quickly, Tom Brady was not only the leader and the good cop to his bad cop and leader in that locker room, but turns out, like, logistically, he was, like, organizing practices. He was the one that actually was holding guys accountable to practice. A lot of the play calling was on Tom Brady. That was Tom Brady's offense.
Yeah.
And when he left, the offense went with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising when you see all the coaches that came out of it and how bad all the offensive coaches were that came out of Patriots. That when you see Josh McDaniels, you don't think, man, that guy was such a genius when he had Tom Brady. But anywhere else, you're like, oh, he's just Tom Brady. Yeah. No, that makes more sense.
Bill O'Brien, yeah. Same thing. Yeah, you're right about that. I don't disagree with that at all. And one of the other excerpts here about that was really controversial, but by the way, has been denied by Robert Kraft and his spokesman. It says this in the piece, in a conversation with blank. With Arthur Blank, excuse me, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, and this is Robert Kraft, the owner of the the Patriots, and this is an excerpt from the article. It said, but in a conversation with Blank, Kraft delivered a stark assessment of Belichick's character, according to a source who spoke to two people, a close friend of Robert Kraft and a longtime Belichick confidant. The source quoted the Belichick source as saying, quote, Robert called Arthur to warn him not to trust Bill. That account was backed up, the source said, by the close friend of Robert Kraft. Multiple sources said that Kraft spoke with some candor to Blank about Belichick, though the sources declined to elaborate. One source close to Belichick said Kraft was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring him. The comments were consistent with what Kraft had been telling confidants for months after an unprecedented run after Spygate. Aaron Hernandez, after backing his coach and moving on from Brady after disagreements publicly and privately, the owner had lost trust in Belichick, which was a key reason for their deteriorating working relationship and the end of the Patriot way. A second source close to Kraft said that basically Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult and obstinate and kind of stubborn and in the end not worthy of his trust and also very, 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 three varies, arrogant. There you go. By the way, Robert Kraft denied all of this. A spokesman for Robert Kraft said, I never said that. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, no, Robert Kraft's people just trying to massage the news. Trying to massage the news.
Oh, well done there. Yes. Good job. Ended on a high note. Good stuff there. That's good. That was well timed out. Well timed. I like that. All right, there you go. So there is a little salacious gossip from the NFL side. All right, we come back. We'll get into who said that on the other side. Also, what's in store for tomorrow's show. We'll dive into that a little bit. All of that and more as we wrap things up right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Davis coming back on the horn. Welcome back to the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. New Theme Thursday. This New Theme Thursday dedicated to all the folks celebrating 420, which will be this weekend. But man, Patrick wants to get you in the mindset for 420 just a little bit early. So the New Theme Thursday devoted to everyone who will be enjoying the sticky icky icky on 420. So I appreciate him and his creativity.
Yeah, had to sneak in some Bob Marley before it's over, you know.
Oh, man, come on.
You just have to.
We used to call it the Bob Marley Festival. I think now it's called the Reggae Fest.
Yeah, it's called Reggae Fest now. I don't know if that was because of naming rights or what, but yes, it is called Reggae Fest now.
Probably so. I mean, you can't just call it the Bob Marley Festival, even though, I mean, that's the vibe there. I think people still call it unofficially that. But yes, no doubt. You got to have some Bob Marley, man. 420, you're right. If there's a song that we talked about that's more of an anthem for 420, it probably will be Mary Jane, maybe the perfect anthem for it. We talked about how the Chronic is kind of more of a hardcore anthem for 420. If there is a 420 mascot or an icon that represents 420, it's probably going to be Bob Marley. And honestly, Willie Nelson's probably right behind him. And Snoop is probably right behind him.
Yeah.
It's probably those three on the Mount Rushmore. Who's the fourth person on the Mount Rushmore? Is it like Cheech or Chong? Like, who's on the Mount Rushmore 420 is Bob Marley. Is it Ricky Williams? No, seriously. It could be Ricky. What Ricky has done to change the, you know, perception of marijuana in sports.
Yeah.
Who is the fourth person on Mount Rushmore? Because it's definitely Willie. It's definitely Snoop on there. And it's definitely Bob Marley. Who's the fourth on the Mount Rushmore of marijuana of 420?
I'll tell you who it's going to be. The president who legalizes it nationwide. There you go. That's who number four is. We'll give it to whoever that
is. You're damn right. I'm not going to lie. Didn't we all think it would be President Trump? Didn't we all think Trump would do it? No. I thought Trump would do it like within his first 2 years. I was like, oh, he's definitely going to legalize marijuana. That's just – he coming there draining the swamp and being a disruptor. He's just going to legalize marijuana. And he never did it. I was really surprised. I know Obama couldn't do it because first black president can't legalize marijuana. It's just – you'll never be able to live down that joke and the stereotype. No, we're not going there. But I thought Trump would do it. I was surprised Trump didn't do it. Joe Biden should do it. President Biden should do it.
Yeah.
I don't know why presidents are reluctant to do it, because right now most of America is on your side. Most of America, I think 60-something percent, they favor and support recreational legalized marijuana. I don't. Like, what are we waiting on?
He can't do it. He can't do it before voting, though, because then no one's going to – they're all going to forget to vote.
Have old demo that just doesn't show up to the polls.
Yeah.
When is the election day?
Nah, man. I'm ready for Super Wednesday, man.
We missed it, bro. Oh, no. All right. There you go. Well, I don't know what president's going to do it, but I would predict whoever the next president – you know, when I say that, whoever the next president after Joe and Trump.
The next new president.
Whoever the next one is after that, the new one, I think that's the one that'll do it. Obviously, right. Trump and President Biden have had their opportunity. All right, let's play Who Said That before we get ourselves into trouble talking too much politics. Let's play Who Said That. That's when my man Patrick plays a bit of audio, and based on the context clues or just based on the audio itself, you at home can play and are supposed to decipher Who Said That.
Big thing on the internet is Kendrick versus Drake. We need your take. Drake. Drake off the
bit. Favorite artist, so.
Drake, you got backed by Clayton Clark. You got it now, Drake. Okay. You got to choose a side.
Drake.
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 Drake. Like, what?
Drake.
For sure.
Oh my gosh, it's so hard. I feel like I listened to more Kendrick, so I would say Kendrick.
One for Kendrick, everybody. Okay, you got someone out there, Kendrick.
I don't know.
She don't want to get in the mix.
I don't want to get in the mix. I'm out the mix.
I would have to go with Drake just because of the variety of music.
You have to pick one. Who is it?
I'm going to go with Drake.
I feel like I like Kendrick more, but I listen to Drake more. I might have to take Drake just because I listen to his music more.
Oh, my God. I listen more to Kendrick a little bit, but I don't know about their beef, so I'm going to just stay on the neutral side.
I got to choose Drake.
I am going to choose Drake.
Oh, you're not going to tell me to
yes,
choose right now.
Yes, you have to choose. Who are you choosing?
Oh, I love Kendrick, though. I really love Kendrick, his music. But, you know, I got to go with my home roots. Drake, Drizzy Drake from the Six. That's how I'm feeling.
I always listen to Drake pregame, so I need that. I need to keep it with Drake, yeah.
Drake's that dude. Okay.
All right, for those who don't know, that was basically all of the ladies being drafted into the WNBA, giving their take on whose side they're taking, Drake or Kendrick Lamar. For those who don't know, Drake is like Thanos right now. He's taking on basically the Avengers of rap. They've all teamed up against him. It's like Metro Boomin, Future, Kendrick Lamar, Rick Ross. I'm not making this up. It's like a bunch of them, and they've kind of teamed up against. The Weeknd is apparently against them too, and Drake's like taking on all of them right now. So the big story in rap right now is the Kendrick Lamar beef versus Drake, which has ballooned into Drake versus hip hop. Period. Which is kind of fun. It's kind of fun. It ain't B.I.G. Tupac. People getting killed kind of beef. It's like the kind of silly kind of
it's a silly
rap
we
beef,
ask so. About it at the draft.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you go. This stuff there. All right, thanks to Patrick for doing a great job. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We'll talk about it right here on the Rodcast. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. Until next time, hook 'em. Peace.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.